Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. The score!
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports. Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Do you want to hear what Myles Garrett had to say earlier today?
Sure.
Just in case you forgot how powerful Myles Garrett is, it's not just on the field. Listen to what he had to say about Aaron Rodgers now being in his division.
I think it's a good opportunity to put him in a graveyard.
Graveyard sounds very dangerous.
That sounds like he's going to have a Fast Times at Ridgemont High game against Aaron Rodgers.
Jefferson's going to really make Lincoln pay for this.
Going to totally destroy them. Annihilate. You know what I mean?
Forrest Whitaker. His character in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
It's such a good visual.
Yeah. Good opportunity to put him in a graveyard.
What a sneeze.
That was a rip of a sneeze. Can't hear anything but the sneeze.
The sneeze is powerful.
That was an extra base hit.
I keep thinking of Murph sneezes. Oh. Wasn't it like a voicemail or something? Wasn't it on... That's what it was, right? Like he called Matt?
Oh, I don't
hey, wait a minute.
Do we have it?
That's it.
Hey, Matt, nope, Matt, cola. Achoo! It's Mike Murphy. Achoo!
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, man, that is an oldie but a goodie of a reference. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Our producers, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer. We also have Brian Gertsch and Connor O'Donnell on our video team. You can watch us, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. You can text us, 312-644-6767. And we're on various forms of social media. You choose what you like there. Also, 708, thanks for telling me about the name Rod Mexico was actually used for, because innocent Layla at the time, who was a youngin', thought it was a hotel alias. Apparently not. So that's a good laugh I had to myself. We get you ready for the Cubs game coming up here at 11:30, and we start with how the Cubs won last night. Cubs, I think, did exactly what we wanted to see them do. I was a little bit concerned at first in the early innings, but... Again, they take advantage of a team that doesn't have the best bullpen in Philly, and that's what good teams do. They will make you pay when your pitching staff is not as good as the opposing team. And good offenses allowed hit it every time.
Layla, the key to this game was pretty simple. Mick Abel, again, a rookie making his third start, who was phenomenal in start number one, good in start number two. But I was like, okay, the film is out on him. They should be able to get to this guy because of their approach and how they go up against guys. You get him to walk three guys. You work counts. He only lasts four innings. Don't you love when a good hitting team gets to face middle relief? That is the sweet spot right there. And that's exactly when the Cubs said, okay, this game's about to be over.
And at one point, I was a bit concerned with what happened when Colin Ray left the game. But Ryan Brazier, I think, was able to at least stop the bleeding, if you will, when he came in. Because we see Ray leave the game. He only goes 4 1/3, gives up 4 earned runs. But when you win 8-4... that's how you want to beat this Phillies team. Are you facing the A's? No. We talked about the Cubs' numbers against aces yesterday. I will keep track of that just as that pattern has emerged. And also, Ian Happ, man. when you need your offense to pick you up, for him to get 2 home runs, he was 2 for 3 yesterday. 3 RBIs, 3 runs scored, obviously. 2 walks as well. That is quite the day that you have just made for yourself batting from that leadoff spot, and that helped everybody. You saw 1, 2, 3 get hits. Happ gets 2. Kyle Tucker also, of course, adding in. He gets a big hit. Say a Suzuki with 2 hits. So when the top of your order is cooking like that, unfortunately, Pete Crow Armstrong goes 0-for-5 out of the cleanup spot. Either way, you're still doing the job that you need to do. Also, it's funny because there were a couple moments in that game where I think we were all talking on the group thread, and it did not look like Cubs hitters at the time were having the best time against Mick Abel. I do think the first time you see somebody, there's a bit of advantage pitcher there, but Tucker was able to use the same swing that he did in the fourth inning where he got beat on that high curveball at 81 on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, just the high chop outside where you look like you're hacking at it.
Bases loaded, 3-2, gave one of the worst swings I've ever seen.
But he had the same swing that he was able to use for an RBI single. Same swing, same arm slot that I think he saw coming out of the pitcher's arm. With Abel, it was the high curve. And then, although I don't even think it was, I've got the notes here, but it was a high curve at 81. And so he was able to use that. And then 98 outside in the eighth inning, and he makes contact, singles to right, and it's 8-4.
Well,
sometimes it's just about time.
I think, seriously, Tucker was completely fooled because he was expecting a very different pitch from Mick Abel in that bases loaded spot. And that time he was right. And I think it's just that simple because, yeah, Tucker, that's as bad as I think I've seen Tucker look on a swing all season in a big situation. And I know, Layla, I know, because I know how your mind works. I know you were thinking when he missed that pitch and the inning was over, bases loaded, like, here we go again. Cubs are going to find a way to lose this game. But again, because they were into middle relief after that, because of some great at-bats up and down the Cubs lineup, they had countless opportunities to get more runs, 2 in the sixth, that gave them the lead. But then the 3 insurance runs in the eighth, because now you're not facing the high leverage, you've got a 1-run deficit guy. You're facing the low leverage, the Cubs are already up guy. That's the situation you want to be in these types of games, especially on the road.
I had a good laugh because I knew we were looking at that at bat and we were looking at the bases loaded during the fourth inning. You got ducks on the pond and you're like, oh, sweet. Kyle Tucker. I don't care that it's 2 outs. And then it's just high up something. Like, what was the plane of that bat swing? Probably his shoulders. It was like you're just like hacking at something to break its fall. I can't describe what I saw when I saw it, but I had a good laugh. And then you texted, that's one of the worst swings I've ever seen him take.
Yeah.
And he was looking for, it was obvious he was looking for high fastball.
Exactly. So he just is like, oh, well, that's not what that was. And by that time, you know, the swing's already started. And there's no checking on that.
And I was like, oh, timing. And you're just watching it in slow motion. And then I'll be darned if that doesn't happen again in the eighth inning. Same kind of chop. Gets his ball 98 outside up high, and he's like, no, I'm going to turn this into a single. And that's the beauty of Kyle Tucker.
The important thing here is the Cubs bang out 13 hits. And not only that, they out-hit the Phillies, but also everybody except Pete Crow Armstrong got at least one hit in this game. So it was up and down. Reese McGuire comes up big with a 2-for-4 day, including the RBI double. I liked what I saw, and this is now creating this great finale for the series and for the road trip. When you look at the fact that if they win this game today, it's a 5-4 road trip. You could talk about them losing 3 out of 4 games against the Phillies and the Tigers all you want. But at the end of the day, on the road, finish 500 or better. And that's what they have a chance to do if they get a win today. Again, against Jesus Luzardo, who is great, who had a 2.15 ERA before the last two starts. And his ERA has more than doubled because he's given up 20 earned runs in his last two starts.
No win then. That's all I hear. For him, not great. For everybody else facing him, that is a good thing. And Ben Brown is on the mound today. So you have to look at what Ben Brown is going to do. He got out-dueled in a pitcher's duel, is what happened when the Cubs lost to Tarek Skubal and the Tigers on Friday. He went 7 innings, gave up just 2 earned runs. Yeah, gave up a home run. He only walked 1 person, though. So 7-2, 1 home run, and then the walk, and had 7 strikeouts. And given that pattern that he started with that fake start he had where he had the 1 inning off and he went 6 innings in that outing and gave up only a single hit in that game against the Reds on May 31st. I am very excited about what I hope to see out of Ben Brown today. I think this is a great opportunity for him to be able to take what I think should be confidence that he earned from the start against the Tigers, and especially in Detroit, use that in a really positive way here. If he gets the slightest bit of run support, which I think he's going to, then this could be another great outing for him. I'm looking for 6 innings at least.
Okay, 6 innings sounds good. Just remember, it's Philly, it's a hitter's ballpark, and it's a day game.
Ball travels, but you know what? That same issue was in play when it came to the Cubs and Reds, even though it was cold.
Yes, but even if he can only go, let's say, 5 innings, I have a lot of faith in what the Cubs can do with their bullpen. Did you know that the Cubs bullpen, after having issues, we'll say, earlier in the season, is now up to 6th in Major League Baseball in terms of ERA?
That deserves some sort of fanfare, doesn't it?
I believe so.
I think it does. Maybe even more than that. I feel like there's got to be grander music when it comes to the Cubs bullpen getting out of the slog. Craig was on one yesterday, wasn't he, with the afternoon show? I was very excited to hear how Craig and Mark Grody were going to combine. And I was excited with what I heard.
Well, Mark Grody went full Grody, as he always does.
And Ann Heron was like, hey, I'm the football guy. So, like, set it up well so Craig knew who he was.
And Craig Counsell was ready for full Mark Grody, and the combination was magical.
I was hoping that Craig would get ejected a third time because he was going to do it for us.
So was Mark Grody.
I know, but the score specifically, that would he could have, like, sky-pointed, but sadly, no. Craig didn't have a reason to get ejected because the Cubs won 8-4, yada, yada, yada. Ian Happ hit 2 home runs, as we mentioned. And, oh, by the way, your stat about the bullpen. Can I give you another?
Oh, give me something.
Caleb Thielbar, Drew Pomeranz, Brad Keller, and Chris Flexen. This season, that 4 combination, Pomeranz, Thielbar, Keller, Flexen, 1.22 ERA, 88 2/3 innings pitched, opponent 4.61 OPS, 0 home runs. Dang.
I feel like you just jinxed it on the home run stat just because it's a 0. That one's coming off the books in the next week or so.
Oh, I wasn't the only one who pointed that stat out.
Oh, no. I agree with that. The thing that's interesting about those 4 guys is those are guys you made decisions on. You said, let's go find people who can help our bullpen outside of our organization this offseason after having a horrible year last year as far as relief was concerned. And all 4 of those guys who, for lack of a better term, came off the scrap heap. If you go down the stats hole for each of those guys last season, let's start with Caleb Thielbar. ERA last year, 5.32.
Yowza.
ERA this year, 1.85. That's very different. So it's you get this feeling that everything is coming up Craig Counsell, and everything is coming up Jed Hoyer, not only in going and getting these guys, but also in the usage of them, as they've been key in why the Cubs are having such a great season, why they are in first place, as we discuss the Cubs with a chance to get another series win on the road here on Raheemy and Harris. That game's coming up really soon, Layla, by the way.
Zach Zaidman gets you ready for pregame here on the Score at 11:30. This hour is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com, by the way. Save on dental implants today. Would you like to listen to what Ian Happ had to say to Taylor McGregor after the game, after he hit two home runs?
And drew two walks. Yes, let's do that.
Let's do it.
You usually say that you separate your right-handed swing from your left-handed swing, but with the power that's shown up on both sides, is there any connection?
No, I mean, not between the swings, but I just a little bit better rhythm left-handed. You know, the results weren't there yesterday, but the at-bats felt a little bit better. So to connect with the balls today and a couple of walks, I think just plate discipline, doing a good job of laying off a bunch of tough pitches. Pretty good day.
A bunch of homers to celebrate today, but I want to ask you about Matt Shaw and his defense. From your perspective, how impressive is it the way that he's progressed?
Yeah, it's been pretty special. If you pulled a video of that last play, I think my mouth was wide open. I couldn't believe it. He went for the bare hand, but he's been exceptional. I think just all the way around, what he's been able to do defensively and locking down that position and playing at a really high level, and then also with the bat, just getting on base and giving us a chance. He's been pretty special, and it's a testament to his hard work.
In the bullpen as well, it's not just one guy. It seems like everyone out there is pitching super well. How important is that to this stretch?
Yeah, it's huge. You look at a game like today, you know, we come out of the, or Seabray comes out of the game there, and they just lock it down. You know, they lock it down. They don't give up any more runs, give us a chance to add on and be up four, save some of the backing guys for tomorrow, too, and it's huge.
And that was Ian Happ. That's courtesy of Marquee Sports Network. I really appreciate his work from both sides of the plate, but when you've got one down and in like that and you're able to turn on it, especially as a switch hitter for a home run, that's good stuff.
I think the big thing for him is we know that when it comes to his power, he's usually streaky in that area. He's streaking at the right time, considering where the Phillies are and the Cubs are in terms of the Phillies don't have great pitching up after the ace that we saw. And now you can carry that into a series against the Pirates where the pitching has been questionable at best outside of Paul Skenes, who they will see on Friday, I believe.
It's a very Pennsylvania week for the Cubs.
It is super Pennsylvania, but at least they get to play four at home against the Pirates, and that's a chance for them to get back, win three out of four, maybe even a sweep, and now you're back rolling in the direction you want to be rolling.
Yeah, solid opportunity for the Cubs here to win the series, there's no doubt, especially I think also when you consider just what Ben Brown has in front of him as well. Craig Counsell, by the way, yesterday talked to Mark Grody and Anthony Heron on the Cubs bullpen, and you and I pointed it out in the game that first opened this series, Ryan Pressly coming on in high leverage and having a really solid outing.
Just keeps going higher and higher.
He did. He came on in relief, and he was able to throw a scoreless inning, and it was high leverage. You know, it was a close game at that point. So as we continue to examine the bullpen and the hitting that worked for the Cubs yesterday, let's listen to what Craig Counsell had to say.
Well, I think what's important is that we just put zeros up when we, you know, so let's just keep putting zeros up as much as we can. Ryan's done a heck of a job. You know, he came back from a poor outing, just one where, and he's really around that one outing, he's been really, really good. So that's what we need. And I think all our guys in the bullpen right now are pitching really well. And that's all related in terms of, you know, the length the starters are giving us and the effectiveness of each one of the relievers. So just put up zeros, get outs, hand the ball to the next guy, and we'll add up to 27 and we'll add up to a win.
Oh, he makes it sound so easy, but we know it's not. But when your bullpen is cooking the way it is right now, I think it is worthy of giving credit where it is due.
Well, it may not be easy, but they've made it look easy, and that's the point. When you talk about what this team needs going forward in the next month and a half that we're rolling up against this trade deadline, you have to figure out what it is that you need, what are your priorities. And right now, bullpen is far down the list, and their number one priority is top-line starting pitching. Their number two priority is top line starting pitching. The number three priority should be top line starting pitching.
Interesting. I've heard that that might be a need.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it all comes down to expectations, right? What are your expectations for the Cubs as currently constructed? And if the expectations are not challenged for the World Series title, what do you need in order to raise the expectations to that level? And I think we all agree, an ace, a frontline starter, if not two, could simply bolster their case.
Also, let's make note of the guys who they're going to get back via injury. We're hearing Shohei Imanaga is making some progress. We know he's got to make a couple starts at the AAA level. And additionally, we got an update on Porter Hodge from Taylor McGregor this morning. So I think just he's able to throw 20 pitches right now. So that's at least headed in the right direction when it comes to what we can expect in the hopes of getting some really important pieces back on this team that will only help bolster the argument.
I know a lot of people are like, well, what's taking Shota so long because he should be ready to go? But my whole thing is this. Take your time because the last thing you want is a setback once he gets back on a major league mound.
No, especially when you're trying to figure out what you need at the trade deadline. I am A-okay with him taking his time as long as these are the expectations we have. Yes, I understand the Cardinals are breathing down their necks, but they don't face them for another couple weeks. So just keep that circled on the calendar later this month. We have more coming up here on Raheem and Harris on The Score. We are a short show today as we get you ready for Cubs pregame from Philadelphia. So let's do five on it next. We cover the White Sox, Bears, and some WNBA discussion that I think deserves a little more context. That's next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Next.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Before we start 5 on it, do you want to tell them what you just told me after hearing that sports minute?
What, the part about Aaron Rodgers being who I told you who he was, and the fact that he's playing for his soul? He's a happily married man now. He's focused on his legacy, adding maybe another MVP to the ledger. All I know is this. They are Super Bowl contenders as of today.
He looked at me and put his hands around his mouth and whispered, Super Bowl contenders.
We're short on time, though, so we got to get into the five on it.
Five on
number one.
During his media availability Tuesday, Bears coach Ben Johnson said, quote, training camp is going to be a lot about building trust, unquote. Staying on the theme of building trust, whom do you trust the most in the Bears organization and their respective role, and why? And the question is really, who do you trust the most? Quarterback Caleb Williams, coach Ben Johnson, general manager Ryan Poles, or president and CEO Kevin Warren?
Is there an E option? Or an F option?
Like all of the,
no, I'm not sure. Is it like E would be all the above? F would be none of the above? Like, or can I just write in an answer? Or how does this work?
David Eckstein.
No, not David.
You have to pick one.
I would trust David. I trust David Eckstein after his career.
Yeah. Out of those four people, though, Layla, I got to tell you this. I trust Ben Johnson the most. Because, like, he's got the best resume of all of those people as far as NFL is concerned, though he's never been a head coach.
One of them had succeeded at their respective objective.
Yes, the others
in the
NFL. I can't say others have succeeded.
I'm not taking away Caleb Williams' Heisman Trophy or his $10 million that he earned in college. Amazing. I'm not taking away his talent either. But when it comes to those four... And by the way, I think the report from the Tribune was that Kevin Warren is now moving to the north suburbs, which, or at least he bought a house. I would keep the pied-à-terre in the city if he's got one. He likes the city. Don't leave us, Kevin Warren. But point being, the stadium isn't built yet. I don't know how many cranes he needs to see in the air on his project. And I'm not mocking him. I'm actually speaking truthfully there. Ryan Poles is still an unproven general manager to me, which I've discussed, and the Let Poles Cook people hate it, but you hate me anyway, so... And then Caleb Williams, I still need more from. So yeah, it's Ben Johnson.
We are in agreement.
Number two.
Luis Robert Jr. had a well-rounded evening that consisted of a home run, his first since May 3rd, an RBI double, and a very smooth sliding catch in center field in the White Sox 4-2 win over the Astros on Tuesday. Here's what he said after the game.
We weren't competing the whole season, but I think the biggest difference is that, you know, when we got back all the other players that were in the injury list, now we start playing like better because we have the whole team together now.
Those comments via translator Billy Russo. So, all that being said, do you think La Pantera is back on track?
I think there is nobody who needed yesterday more on the White Sox than Luis Robert. It was so refreshing to see. And I'm sitting here yesterday being like, I don't care if the White Sox get swept by the Astros. It's fine. Because it was fine to me. But that is not what happened at all. Luis Robert had an excellent game. He needed those hits more than anybody who had them as the Sox beat the Astros 4-2. And we also saw major league debuts. We got to see Grant Taylor come on in relief. We got to see everything we needed to see out of that Sox team. And also, there was some fun on the field. Did you notice Tim Elko having some fun with the tagouts at first base? We saw baseball joy out of the White Sox. And when he said that to Billy Russo, you could tell in the interview how much he appreciated all of that. And it made me very happy.
It's not just that they've won 4 out of 5 games for just the second time this season. It's that the one loss that they had the go-ahead run at the plate. The winning run was at the plate in the 9th inning of the game that they lost. This team is playing differently. And I know I said that before, and then they embarrassed themselves by getting swept by the Baltimore Orioles with no signs of offense. But
that was their best chance for a sweep. Let's be honest.
No!
That was their best chance for a sweep until they faced the Rockies.
4th through the 6th, they head to Colorado.
But don't regret the fact that you said that that was a chance for a sweep, because it absolutely
was. It was a chance. Not their best, though, because now they've got these rookies up, playing, balling, feeling good about themselves. You've got Grant Taylor coming in, throwing a quick scoreless inning, hitting triple digits on the gun.
Yeah, didn't he hit a hundo?
Yes. So, I think this is it. I think La Pantera is back, and here's what you need to know. There's 40 games between now and the trade deadline. White Sox are going to be above 500 in those 40 games, and it's going to be very bittersweet when Luis Robert Jr. gets traded.
Wait, you just said over 500
you
in those 40 games?
You heard me, 40-game stretch.
I love it.
40-game stretch.
Hot take Marshall in this
segment. It's not a hot take.
What happened to you betting me a dollar that they weren't even going to win 46 and a half games?
I gave up that dollar. I said it would be a happy bet for me to lose. Remember when I said that?
See, this is how it starts, you know? But I also said I didn't care if the Sox got swept by the Astros. And I really didn't. I was just going to be happy to see both teams played hard, so to speak.
Also, speaking of dollars, I have $6 I need to collect.
I've got two in my bag for you after the show.
I'm just saying.
I got you, Robbie.
I'm
Italian.
I'll
go to the ATM.
Just watch out.
Right. Hey, don't lean into stereotypes. Lean into who you are.
That's right. I'm a nice man.
I see that crowbar, Robbie.
Number three.
Oh, wait, how'd they get there, huh? Okay, speaking of the White Sox, how can you not be excited about the future of the Chicago White Sox?
This is a very easy question to answer. I cannot be excited about the future of the Chicago White Sox because I understand that they're still not spending money on people. So let's say that they had this miraculous run, all the rookies pan out, everything happens the way that you want it to happen. And we get to next season. Guess what? The ceiling is there because they can't get where they want to get to without spending money. And they don't spend money. Now, Justin Ishbia's involvement could be a trigger point to getting more, but tell me again when that has to take place. 2029 is the first opportunity for Jerry Reinsdorf to turn things over. And then if Jerry Reinsdorf is so inclined, as in he stays alive and says, I'm still good to go, 2034, you want me to wait another 9 years for an infusion of money? Nah, that's why you cannot be excited. Now, I am excited about the White Sox, but I just gave you the best reason why you could not be excited.
What he said. But also, here's the problem. Nothing ever plays out to your plan. Like, that's the acceptance factor that you have to realize in baseball, and you can, that's baseball at all you want, or whatever you need to say there. But realistically, that's just how this stuff works. It's why everything is an arms race, not just pitching. That's why you get as much talent as you possibly can. Colson Montgomery isn't up with this team, and I heard a whole lot about how he was supposed to be months ago. So let's consider that piece of it. Am I encouraged by the things I have seen? Yes. Excited, I am not there yet.
Still on pace to lose triple-digit games. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Number four.
Last night, the Sky lost to the Liberty 85-66 and fall to 2-6 on the year. Angel Reese, though, had a good game with 17 points and 11 rebounds on 8-for-13 shooting. She and the team have struggled, and after the game, Angel Reese was asked a question which led to Ariel Atkins jumping in to speak her mind.
For all the scrutiny you do receive online and stuff of that nature, you know, what kind of messages a game like this send to them, as well as just the kind of momentum that this can build for you throughout the season?
Yeah, I obviously don't worry about what's going on online. I get so much love in person. I haven't ever had a negative encounter in person ever. And I've been going through this for 3 years. I've never had an encounter in person that was negative. So people online are behind a keyboard for a reason. And I don't worry about that stuff. I trust my work. My teammates trust me. And I was telling Mila today, like, she felt like she was having a rough day. And I was like, how many times have I had a rough day? And you picked me up. So don't get down on yourself. I know my teammates have my back. My coaches have my back. And that's all that really matters. I don't have to prove anything to anybody but myself and my teammates.
Second row on the left.
How old are you?
23.
I'm sorry. Can I say something? This is a 23-year-old kid. And the amount of crap that she gets on a day-to-day, and she still shows up. So whatever questions y'all got, like, about our team, basketball-wise, we appreciate it, but all the other nonsense, like, it's irrelevant. Like, we here to play basketball, and do we do. We having a hard time right now at the end of the day. Just a 23-year-old kid who handles herself with grace. Her crown is heavy. So whatever else, like, y'all want to come at her for the way that she acts, she has to build the wall. She has to have the wall. Because if she doesn't, people will break her down. Not only just because of the way she looks, but it's because of the way she carries herself. She doesn't just walk around and act like, oh, I'm this. No, she knows who she is. And we ain't going to break her down for that. So whatever other questions y'all got, like, I'm hoping it's just about basketball, maybe a box score question, but the kid's crown is heavy. Like, respect that.
What do you think about what Ariel Atkins had to say right there?
I think it was important because so many times Angel Reese and other women basketball players are taken out of context. Let's eliminate the phrase basketball players are taken out of context. while other women are purposefully taken out of context. Other hosts on this show are purposefully taken out of context. We know who gets purposefully taken out of context more. That was a question that was posed to Angel Reese, and Ariel Atkins decided to back up her teammate. Did Angel have a horrible game, you know, against the Indiana Fever? Yeah, it wasn't her best game. She had 12 rebounds, but as we mentioned, she only had 4 points. Do you know that she still has a huge total of double-doubles already this season? She had 12 and 17 to open the season against the Fever, for example. She had 13 and 12 against the LA Sparks. She had 13 and 15 against the Phoenix Monarchs. She had another double-double with 17 and 11 yesterday. She broke the WNBA's record at the time for double-doubles with 23 when she passed Tina Charles' record of 22. When she has a bad game, it's big and people talk about it. But she's right. The keyboard warriors at some point have to also look at the other games where she's not on national television, and maybe you're watching the U instead and you see a little bit different of a performance there, and you have more context to what the game is, and understand that there's a different game you're watching in the W than what you're watching in the NBA. And the more we can point all these things out, the better.
What I'll say is Ariel Atkins did a brilliant job of coming to her teammates' defense and using that platform, that moment, to make a statement even though she wasn't asked a question. Angel Reese is one of two players in the WNBA averaging a double-double. It's been a long and circuitous route for her to get to this point. Her and Jonquel Jones, the only two players averaging a double-double. Now, look, I'm not blind. That 35.8% field goal percentage, it needs to improve. You can't have a big shooting under 40%, especially where she's taking her shots. And she'll work on that. But there's been a lot of slander. There's been a lot of libel. There's been a lot of opinions from people who just got too much to say. She also needs to work on her turnovers. She turns the ball over 3.9 times a game. That's second in the WNBA. She's got plenty to work on, but let's keep it about basketball, basketball, and more basketball. Also, the player leading the WNBA in turnovers per game. Anybody want to guess who that is?
Is it Caitlin Clark?
5 a game. So just
because
leave
that's
you with that.
That's how the league works. Like it's a different game.
Number 5.
Game 3 of the NBA Finals between the Thunder and Pacers takes place tonight in Indianapolis. Who you got and why?
Man, give me Halliburton.
Wow.
Give me Tyrese. I don't know if he's going to show up full force, but I think between him, between Pascal Siakam, between my favorite player in the series for sentimental reasons, TJ McConnell.
I wondered where you were going with that.
Yeah, you're like, who do you like in this series?
As a sentimental reason.
I think they can find a way to get it done. A miraculous game two, and I think the series is over in six. But I think they can get it done tonight. That place is going to be on fire tonight.
If there were ever a game for the Pacers to win, that's like their next win in the finals, their best chance out of the next series, it's definitely today. Like that's how I feel about it. You come back. We saw what Gainbridge Fieldhouse looked like watching game two. They packed the house just to watch the game together. That crowd is going to be ridiculous. Here's the issue. We all sat there in the pre-show meeting and asked ourselves, why on earth did Oklahoma City ever abandon the double big lineup? We saw it deployed in game two, and that's what helped them win handily. Rick Carlisle is an excellent coach. I would argue that this is his best coaching year that he's had, and he has an incredible resume.
I don't know,
in NBA
man.
Finals to his name. I'm telling you, though, based on this team, no, I think that this is keenly watching that Mavericks team that I think had more talent, like, overall on the roster.
I mean, they had more talent at the top, but the other guys that Dirk was playing with?
But the dominance of Tyson Chandler was playing out of his mind at that time.
True. Okay, that's fair.
Like, and Jason Terry was incredible.
Jason Terry was on one.
That was a huge collection of talent that they had. So and Jason Kidd was still playing.
I would argue they were playing a tougher opponent than what Indiana's playing.
They were. That was the Super Team Miami team. So I think in this case, yeah, Indiana, your best shot is tonight, and
is
frankly,
that who you're taking then?
Rick Carlisle needs to show us what he can do, and he's been proven to do.
So you're taking the Pacers?
No, I still think that Oklahoma City wins in five.
Okay.
I'll be happy to be wrong on that. We have more coming up next on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We have more Bears thoughts. There was a lot of discussion yesterday at OTAs, so we will give you our biggest takeaways, starting with Ben Johnson and some observations about players that are worth your time as well. That's next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Come
on. Does it tell you about Caleb that he's here leading those guys out there?
Yeah, I think he's committed to learning the offense. We're not where we need to be yet as a team, and he understands that. And any chance he gets to get a few more full speed reps, it sounds like he wants them.
That was Ben Johnson talking about Caleb Williams attending the Young Ones OTAs at Hallis Hall. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Is Young Ones like Hot Ones? Is that?
It's Youngins is too. I can't say that. That's reserved for kids and DeMar DeRozan talking about the younger players on the Bulls when he was here. Those were his youngins.
I mean, these are young players. These are a bunch of rookies and a bunch of special team guys and some other guys who just want to make an impression.
That is true. But it's also a quarterback who wants to get reps, and he's in his second season.
Yes.
So he's a young one. But I appreciate that he is there. And I think that that is the most important piece of the Bears OTAs for me so far. Ben Johnson was probably the most informative yesterday when it came to what he is observing. We got a lot of interesting comments from some of the players, and we'll bring those up in a little bit on this segment. But when it came to Ben Johnson just speaking about not just that, what we heard, understanding that we're not there yet offensively, taking us through the install, I think is a big piece of this that is really important. So let's listen to what Ben Johnson had to say about the growth that he's seen from Caleb Williams during this mini camp and OTA period.
We've loaded him up. We've tried a number of different things, long play calls, multiple plays at the line. We've dabbled here, tempo. We've dabbled here, there, and everywhere really throughout the springtime. And some comes a little bit more natural than others for him. But I do think we've seen him get better in really all facets. And so we'll have to sit down as a staff before we leave and when we come back, just to make sure we're honed in on what direction we want to go all together. But I feel pretty confident the things that he's put on tape that we can go ahead and get after a little bit.
What I heard there is I can work with this, but I think he knew that before he took the job. I think for Ben Johnson right now, I was really happy to hear him talk about the fact that his family's finally moving here, and that's going to get him to a different type of mode, if you will.
Yeah, he did talk about that, and he was asked that question. It wasn't like he brought it up on his own.
Right.
Patrick Finley asked about Ben Johnson's family, and he said he would appreciate having them here because he hasn't seen them for 4 months, is what he said.
And that's how you know that man's been locked in.
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about him.
Oh, who are you worried about, Layla?
I think there's a bit of discourse when it comes to Luther Burden's injury and Ben Johnson's comments about it. I heard it, and when I heard Ben Johnson talk about it, I think it was more about him explaining what you miss if you can't play at this time of the year. But let's listen to it again, because again, we like to give people context and we have time to let them speak. So let's let him speak.
He misses a lot. I mean, anytime you're not out there, if you're in the training room when the rest of the guys are practicing, you're losing valuable time with your coaches, valuable reps with your teammates, the ability to build the trust that we're talking about. It's not just the coaching staff having trust in you doing the right thing over and over, but it's also your teammates. They got to be out there. They got to see you do it. They got to know that the guy right left of them, that they're going to do the right things and they're going to make the plays when called upon. So, I think it's for everybody, and it's a shame that he got dinged up and missed all that time, because for a young player, it's really where you get the most reps and you can get better in a hurry that way. So that's really for every player on this team.
I hate to repeat myself, but do you anticipate he'll be good for training camp?
He will, yeah.
So we hear that out of Ben Johnson, and I didn't necessarily think that was some sort of coded message to Luther Burden. I just thought it was him talking about the importance of learning what you can at this time of the year for rookies.
I don't think it was a coded message. I thought it was a pretty direct message, and that's something I have grown to appreciate about Ben Johnson here in the early going, the honeymoon phase, if you will, with him and the Bears is that he's pretty direct. He says what he means, and he means what he says. He'll crack a joke here and there. He'll lighten the mood. He'll get serious when he needs to. The tone has been good throughout in terms of the appropriateness coming from the head coach who's expected to do big things and do them quickly. And I think his point there is, if you're missing time, you're missing a chance to get better in a hurry. That's what I heard at the end of that particular answer from Ben Johnson.
Given what you and I have talked about, let's go back to the afternoon show talking to James Palmer, who does the podcast with Steve Weiss, or Steve Smith, rather. Given that James Palmer has the podcast, Steve Smith talked about some of the criticisms of Luther Burden. You bring it up with his head coach, Eli Drinkwitz, at Missouri. We hear what Coach Drinkwitz had to say. But that not necessarily a work ethic issue, but that the aunt too might not be exactly where they wanted it to be. I think that that's something where change of scenery can help. I'm not too concerned about it right now. But that's the only reason I would give what Ben Johnson said any more meaning than what I heard yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the earlier comments from Steve Smith or Eli Drinkwitz, like his college coach, and his reaction to the Steve Smith comments about how, you know, that guy's got his own problems. He needs to be worried about other stuff. Talking about the former all-pro wide receiver in Steve Smith. I will say this. Going forward, for Luther, they ain't a lot of ball to go around here. You've got other receivers, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore. You've got
Olamide Zaccheaus, who everybody says has impressed.
Yes, Zaccheaus has been good as a free agent pickup from the Commanders. Also, you've got not one, but two tight ends in Cole Kmet and now Colston Loveland, who will also be looking for rock.
And it certainly sounds like Loveland is going to be used over the middle of the field, similar to what he was used at Michigan. Also, envision Sam Laporta, because that's the comp that the team has made to him, so you have an idea there. You're right. That doesn't leave a lot of ball to go around, especially when you want to run the ball.
So my point is, in Ben Johnson's answer there, taking what Luther Burden, the third question was a topic, and expanding it out for everyone, he said, listen, if you're missing stuff right now, you are behind. It's hard to catch up going against the caliber of people that he's going to be going up against. And we think that he and Colston Loveland will be somewhat in the same boat. But I think, because Colston Loveland is a first-round pick and he's got a little bit more versatility, he will be prioritized.
If you ain't first, you're last.
That's what my man said.
Ricky Bobby.
But Ricky Bobby and them.
Going back to who we both just said we trusted out of the Bears' brain trust in the last segment.
Follow him to freedom.
I'm listening to Coach.
Listen, Ben Johnson brought here for a reason, and he's been very clear. It might not be instant, but we're going to be better. And in order to be along with us when we are getting better, you've got to make the plays and know what's going on in training camp, practice leading up to. I expect them to have a better second half of the season, first half of the season. You just hope that Luther Burden III is there every step of the way.
Yeah, that is the hope. And these are the last days before they break for training camp where we can get some answers. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. As we get you ready for Cubs baseball at the bottom of the hour at 11:30, it's Zach Zaidman and the crew from Philadelphia for Game 3. But there is a lot to get to in the NFL. What's the latest on everybody's attendance at minicamp? Everybody wants to get paid. Some of the biggest names have the biggest news around them. And apparently, your favorite opposing quarterback got married. Let's talk about it all to Mike Florio next. This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
He joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. It is Mike Florio. He also joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Mike is the editor and creator of Pro Football Talk. He is at Pro Football Talk on X. Mike, we're happy to have you on.
Great to be with you as always. How's everybody today?
We're good now that we know what's really good with Aaron Rodgers and that everything's official, it's done, and this man got married too. Mike, what's going on? Is this a new and better version of Aaron Rodgers? Because I've picked them to have the ceiling of going to the Super Bowl.
It could be. I don't know. He seemed like a different guy yesterday. He was definitely different yesterday than he was a couple of weeks ago when he did 184 minutes with Joe Rogan. He was very positive yesterday. There were no conspiracy theories related to any of the things that he likes to pontificate about. He did acknowledge that he's married, which was a new thing for him. He doesn't like his new helmet because his old one is no longer permissible in the NFL. But he's with his team. It's finally happened. He's not doing anything by way of team drills during mandatory minicamp, but he's laying the foundation to become the guy and try to propel the Steelers to their first postseason win in 9 years. Their longest streak before their current drought was 5 years without a playoff win. They're on 9 years without a playoff win, and I think they're desperate to end that this year.
How much do you think his difference makes, just his presence, and also the receivers that he could end up helping get on the team because of him?
Well, I think that Steelers fans, especially those who are skeptical about the arrival of Rodgers, they'll feel differently when they see him flicking the ball 40 yards down the field. He still has an incredible arm. He's playing more within his diminished physical abilities. He doesn't run like he used to. He needs to stay in the pocket more. I've said in the past, he needs to operate like he did the year he had the calf injury that really forced him to stay in the pocket, get the ball down the field, take some chances. Don't be obsessed with that touchdown interception ratio. And it is going to be a question of who they add to the mix with DK Metcalf. Robert Woods is listed as one of the other starters. They have Calvin Austin III. They've got some other guys that fall kind of in the journeyman category. They're hoping they get something out of Roman Wilson. He was a third-round pick out of Michigan last year. He was injured most of the season. But Alan Lazard is a name to watch if the Jets are willing to trade him, if the Steelers are willing to do the deal. I've heard Lazard may want to stay with the Jets because he sees an opportunity to create a future for himself there. If he joins Aaron Rodgers again, it's one more year maybe in the NFL for Alan Lazard. But there are some other guys floating around out there. And with Rodgers only taking $13.65 million in base pay, it does leave other money available and cap space available for them to do some things, whether it's before camp, during the season, prior to the trade deadline, different ways to make the team better. Hopefully they'll be willing to do it since they saved so much on Rodgers.
This is a time when we're kicking around names and fits for free agents out there. Does Keenan Allen make sense in Pittsburgh?
I think he would make sense if they can get the number right. The Steelers, I think, would like to get a bargain at any of these free agent positions, but the number would have to be right, and they'd have to feel like he's still got gas in the tank. But guys like that, there aren't many free agent receivers with recognizable names, but guys like that would at least merit some consideration. And we know Rodgers has an affinity for guys he knows. I think Rodgers would love to be reunited with Lazard. Lazard is a different player when Rodgers is on the team, but Lazard, who's a big guy, the Jets are moving toward more of a run-based offense. They're putting a premium on receivers who can block. Lazard could actually end up not rejuvenating, but discovering a way to be a relevant presence without Rodgers. It's an incredible distinction. When he's with Rodgers, he's great. Without Rodgers, he's not. And if he stays with the Jets, maybe that's what happens. But I could see Rodgers trying to convince the Steelers to bring him to Pittsburgh.
I also think you make a good point about money that teams are using right now, Mike. The Bears, we've had this discussion here, have a reported 14.5, really 14.7, as we found out from overthecap.com. $14.7 million of free space. I know some teams keep it open for operating costs. Some teams may think they're going to do something at the trade deadline. I'm pretty convinced that the Bears were able to use that space. They didn't have as much until the Joe Tooney extension. So I think they're keeping it open for someone. But do you think this is going to be more of a thing now that the trade deadline is more active and just the new cap rules too?
Well, it gives you flexibility and you can always carry it over to the next year. We get focused on what is currently happening with the team, but I think most teams, if they're doing it the right way, they're planning 2, 3, 4 years out so they know when the big contracts are going to come due, which guys are likely to sign long-term extensions, which guys are likely going to be rotating off of the roster altogether. So 14, you know, that's good, but it's not great. It's not a whole lot when you consider how much the salary cap currently is, but it gives them some flexibility to maybe make a move if they want to make a move during the season, make a move if an opportunity arises during camp. And if all else fails, you kick it over to next year and you prepare for, you know, for example, a Caleb Williams extension at some point, which is something I'm sure they hope they're going to have to do. They'd love to have the problem of having to make Caleb Williams one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL.
You can't kick it over multiple years, though. How does that exactly work?
Oh, you can keep kicking it forever. You can kick your... It used to be harder to kick over your excess.
Yeah, that's. Over I think time, that was my impression. To,
you can just keep kicking it and kicking it and kicking it, and it's you know, it's better to spend it all, but at least if you don't, it doesn't disappear. It used to just disappear unless you were able to engage in some, you know, magic words and contract restructurings that would allow you to kick it to the next year. The union made it easier to roll it over because why do you want those dollars to be lost?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Joined by Editor-in-Chief of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, here on Raheemi and Harris, talking all things offseason, and really there is no offseason when we're talking about the NFL, Mike. A lot has gone on just this week when we talk about mandatory minicamps, which some players have shunned and said, well, I'm not showing up. Who jumps out to you as the biggest story here and maybe surprised that they're not showing up for minicamp this week?
Well, it's only a $104,000 fine if you miss all 3 days. And that assumes that the team actually does the 3 days of minicamp. That third day is the most expensive at $52,000. I'm not really surprised by any of them. The one that I wish I'd seen coming was Terry McLaurin, because once they traded for Deebo Samuel, who's due to make about $20 million this year, McLaurin's at 15 and change. I should have recognized immediately he's going to want to have his contract adjusted. And TJ Watt, it was obvious going into the last year of his deal at $21 million in cash, he's going to want to have his adjusted. And the challenge for all these teams, the longer you wait, the more expensive it gets. It never gets any cheaper. So for all of these teams, you've got to make the decision, when are we going to get this done? Will there be a holdout of training camp? Will there be a hold-in where the guy shows up but doesn't practice and isn't fined? And when will they get these deals done? But deadlines drive a lot of these contracts. I'd like to think that the smart teams, the teams that have the right relationships with the agents, you just get these things done in advance, because it never, ever, ever gets cheaper if you wait. And of course, the one team that seems to be destined to screw things up if they can is the Bengals, with Trey Hendrickson and Shamar Stewart, who's unsigned, and they're fighting over a very obscure, esoteric contractual provision in his rookie deal. They have neither of those guys at mandatory minicamp, and they may have neither of them at training camp.
Oh, that is brutal. And I understand that once Myles Garrett got his money, after the way he went about getting his money, that would give everybody else in the respective group reason to pause. So that's what I'm assuming a lot of this is the market has been reset. Therefore, the market movers are letting their power be known.
And the most fascinating two players, one is holding out and one is not, Micah Parsons and TJ Watt, because whoever goes first sets the bar for the other one. So if I'm Watt, I want Parsons to go first. If I'm Parsons, I want Watt to go first. Meanwhile, the teams are dragging their feet in both instances. It's an opportunity for the team to swoop in and get the deal done before the other guy pushes the bar even higher. But the Cowboys notoriously drag their feet with these contracts. The Steelers and Watt went right up until the start of the season, the last time he did a new deal. But you never win. As I said earlier, you never win by delaying. It always gets more expensive. And with Watt and Parsons, one's going to go first, and that's going to set the bar for the other.
We're talking about all these players skipping minicamps, and then there's Detroit and Dan Campbell, the head coach there, saying, we don't need a mandatory minicamp. Are you as surprised as I am in the fact that you've got a coach with two new coordinators and obviously an influx of players, but a lot of returning guys, that they just said, we're going to kick the can down the road until the Hall of Fame game?
Yeah, I am surprised. They're the only team in the NFL not having the mandatory minicamp. They ended their offseason program a week early. They have two new coordinators they need to break in. They didn't play deep into the calendar like the 49ers, who badly needed a break after those years of going so far into January and February. The Chiefs have been to three straight Super Bowls. They're having their mandatory minicamp. So I think at a time when you've got some new players you're trying to get up to speed, you've got new coordinators that are getting up to speed, I want to take full advantage of all of those practices. One of the big complaints from coaches after the 2011 CBA, it dramatically reduced practice time, both off-season, training camp, and during the season. I'd want to use everything I had to get my guys ready for training camp.
Also, this nugget came down on Pro Football Talk this morning. Za'Darius Smith hoping to return to the Lions. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, they cut him, but they have yet to address that need across from Aiden Hutchinson. So it all comes down to what kind of a deal they can work out. But the contract they inherited when they traded for Smith with the Browns during the 2024 season, they decided not to continue with it. They ripped it up. He's still available. They haven't drafted anyone. They haven't signed anyone who may have been available. No trade. So they bring back a guy they know if they decide that that's what they want to do. They definitely need some help across from Aiden Hutchinson, who's still one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, but he's coming back from that serious leg injury he suffered week 5 last year against the Cowboys.
We're talking to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. He's the editor-in-chief and creator, and the segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Mike, any other news that you want to touch on that you think is important from what you've seen out of minicamp? The Za'Darius Smith nugget was big to me. Trey Hendrickson, of course, but just anything that you think is also worth passing along.
Well, James Cook has shown up in Buffalo. He explained he likes his money, but the Bills have to figure out what they're going to do with him. And running backs, when they declare themselves early in their careers that they truly are great, how do they go about turning that into the kind of money that they may have to wait to get? Look at Saquon Barkley. He had to go 5 years on his rookie contract, a sixth year under the franchise tag before he was able to go to the Eagles as a free agent. Now, Cook wasn't a first-round pick, so they don't have the fifth-year option, but he's entering year four. It's the franchise tag dance after that. And a lot of these teams just want to look at guys as, and I say this all the time, they are parts in a giant football machine. How much does this part cost? How much would a replacement cost? And there's still teams that view running backs as interchangeable. And I can get a younger, cheaper, healthier guy in the draft. Why would I pay a lot of money to this running back? Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry last year helped change that perception. But you've got to be a truly great running back to justify it. And Cook believes he is. I'd like to think the Bills recognize what he can do. If they want to try to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time since the 1993 season, you probably need to get this guy taken care of. The question is, how much? When do you get it done? But he did show up. He didn't want to give up that $104,000 that would come from missing the three-day camp.
Yeah, the six-figure fines. Some people unfazed by them. Other people are like, I need my money. Before we let you go, Mike, I wanted to ask you about what's going on with the Cleveland Browns, because Shedeur Sanders is out here getting fewer reps than other quarterbacks. It's a very crowded quarterback room, and we were debating here whether we think Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders will end up getting more playing time next season. I tend to believe it'll be Shedeur Sanders, but it seems to be just a cluster what's going on in Cleveland and how we got to this situation to begin with.
Well, as I've said recently, when you have two quarterbacks, you have none, and when you have five quarterbacks, you're the Browns. And that's the best they have right now. They've got four guys who are competing. They've got Deshaun Watson, who is doing his best to get cleared to return from a twice-torn Achilles tendon. They're going to have a mess when he shows up with a clean bill of health and says, hey, I'm ready to compete with everyone else. I think by the time training camp opens, and this factors in the possibility that the Browns really are dysfunctional and they'll make a bad decision. I think the right decision would be move on from Kenny Pickett, try to trade Kenny Pickett, go to camp with Joe Flacco and the two rookies, give Flacco reduced reps because he'll be ready to go week one without going out there and doing a lot of work in training camp. Get Gabriel and Sanders as much as they can and try to figure out which of the two is more likely to develop into the future guy. And then let's see how the 2025 season goes. Maybe Flacco starts week one. As long as they are relevant, as long as it looks like it's working, he stays out there. At some point, you'll know when you let one of the younger guys play, whichever one is farther along. But that's the problem with having that many quarterbacks. There's only so many reps to go around in practice. You're going to have guys who aren't ready, and you're going to have too many guys there. They need to get rid of at least one before they go to training camp, and I think the most obvious guy to get rid of is Pickett.
Mike Florio, the editor-in-chief and creator of Pro Football Talk, thanks for always joining us here on Raheemi and Harris on 670 The Score.
Thanks, Mike.
My pleasure. Have a great week.
Thanks, Mike. Enjoy your lunch.
A reminder, we want you to let you know that you can join The Score's Mark Grody, Rami Makhlouf for a special live broadcast at the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar. That's 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst. That's tomorrow, this Thursday, from 2 to 6 p.m., Bulls Radio Network analyst and three-time NBA champion Bill Winnington will make a special appearance from 4 to 6 p.m. Take in the first round action from Oakmont. And while you're on site, download and fund the Circus Sports Illinois app to receive a matchback incentive up to $500 directly into your account. Plus, take your swing at $5,000 with a hole-in-one contest from the Lynx.
We love that. And we also are getting you ready here for Cubs baseball on 670 The Score. Cubs facing the Phillies in their series finale. Pregame coverage beginning at 11:30 with Zach Zaidman right here on 670 The Score in the free Odyssey app. So a lineup is out. Let's give it to you as they face the Phillies and Jesus Luzardo on the mound. It is Ian Happ batting leadoff. He is in left field. Kyle Tucker is in right batting second. Say Suzuki, the DH. Dansby Swanson is batting cleanup. He is at short.
Dansby.
That's a change. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he did hit a long ball yesterday. Carson Kelly is your catcher. He's batting fifth. Justin Turner is at first base. Nico Horner then at second base. Matt Shaw batting seventh. And then you have Vidal Brujan. Vidal Brujan is in center field batting ninth.
That means no Pete Crow Armstrong. That would be his first day off if he doesn't make an appearance in this game as a pinch hitter or pinch runner or a defensive replacement. Also, this is very much a getaway day lineup right here. This is a classic getaway day lineup.
Yeah, when you got Vidal Brujan batting ninth, so that, and Dansby Swanson batting cleanup is a choice.
So he's batting cleanup, and Matt Shaw still too low for my liking in the eight hole, but we'll see what happens there. I would switch him out with Justin Turner.
I was going to ask that very question.
So Justin Turner's batting sixth and playing first base. Why not just bat Matt Shaw sixth or move both Nico Horner and Matt Shaw up and have Justin Turner bat eighth? I don't know, but I do know Ben Brown is on the mound going opposite of Jesus Luzardo, and this should be interesting because it's which guy are you going to get? Which version? Because we've seen two versions of Ben Brown, and we've seen two versions of Jesus Luzardo. If the Cubs and Phillies get the most recent versions of those two pitchers, I like the Cubs' chances today.
Yes, absolutely, because Ben Brown has thrown 13 innings in his last two appearances, and he has been incredibly solid in both of those, especially when you consider the last one was starting and facing off against the Tigers, who had the best record in baseball at the time, even though the Cubs lost. Brown still did a lot of solid work in that game. That's the one where most recently he went seven innings, allowed two earned runs, seven hits, and walked just one batter through seven strikeouts. Those numbers let you know that he's working on some things. Also, he threw nine strikeouts in his May 31st appearance against the Reds. That's the one where Drew Pomeranz started?
Yes.
Was there?
The opener.
Opened? He threw the first inning.
He was the opening act.
And then Ben took it up for the next six, starting in the second. So, not the most traditional way of going about things, but it got him ready for that Friday start, which is why we're talking about this today.
Here's how I look at that Drew Pomeranz appearance. He came out, he played three hits, he got off the stage, main act, 21 hits played. That's a real concert.
Yeah, and not like one of those dual headliners either.
Oh, no. This is not the Kendrick SZA situation. That's not what this is, because that was definitely a dual concert that I went to my last time going to a concert. It might be my last concert I ever go to.
Why?
Because, man, it's going to a concert is a lot. It really is. But on the other side, Jesus Luzardo, I just want to remind you, the approach they had yesterday against Mick Abel, it worked. He was gone after four innings. Same approach needs to be had against Jesus Luzardo, a very, very tough lefty when he's on his game. His last two starts, he has not been on his game. Let me put it like this. Through 11 starts, he had not given up more than three runs, and he only given up three runs twice. His last time out, he gave up eight runs in two and a third. The time before that, 12 runs in three and a third. If that continues, if he hasn't made the adjustments, yeah, get after him.
Day game at Citizens Bank Park. Zach Zaidman reported that it is 77 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ball's going to be flying.
Right field has never looked so good.
And unfortunately for the Cubs, it's a right-handed dominant lineup because you're going up against a lefty. Otherwise, Michael Bush in the lineup, Pete Crow Armstrong in the lineup, you might be able to do some more things.
We didn't even talk about the ball that Michael Bush hit, which I think is still landing. Wasn't that 442 feet? Is that the report on that home run he hit?
I believe the correct way of describing it is he got all of it.
And then some. There's something about the home run ball that he hits that looks like it's a really, 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 really high arcing three. It's not just launch angle. It's it's like a combination of factors.
Also, I will say one thing when looking at this lineup that has gotten my attention is that when you look to the other side, you see the two-hole and Kyle Schwarber and realize that man is probably due. So be careful with Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, he's hit home run number 20 on the season. So, yeah, he's up there when it comes to the home run totals. As we mentioned, the Cubs win yesterday, so they've got a chance to take this series in Philadelphia. They
winning
won 8-4 and round out a road trip that Craig Counsell said he was happy with. What's our out time, guys? Nobody ever told me.
24.
All right, then. So, thanks to Marshall Harris. Thanks to Ray Diaz. Thanks to Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer. Also, our video team, Connor O'Donnell, and also Brian Gertz. Thanks to you for listening to this one. It is Zach Zaidman, Ron Coomer, and Pat Hughes coming up next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.